Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for gathering Thy people at the close of another Lord's Day evening to praise, to worship, and to adore Thee, for Thou art our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Provider. May Thou be pleased, O Lord, to hallow this hour of worship and encourage and strengthen our hearts and our faith, especially when we live in the last of the last days, knowing the world will continue to abound in great wickedness and sin. May Thy people shine forth as light, even as we praise Thee and worship Thee this evening. May Thou be pleased to hallow this hour of worship and receive our praise and our thanksgiving, and encourage our hearts by the power and presence of Thy Holy Spirit. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in His holy temple.
The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Keep silence, keep silence
From the program that you have received, you realize that this evening's worship service is very different. We'll begin with a sermon, and then we'll conclude with our giving of our tithe and our offerings unto the Lord. Tonight is a night of praise and thanksgiving unto God Almighty for all that He has done in our lives. Praise is not something that we are very prone to do, unless it is to praise ourselves. We seldom praise others. We tend to find fault with others. We don't like to praise others because very often we feel that it may put us in a very bad light. From this particular psalm, in Psalm 106, verses 47 and 48, you realize that the psalmist described praise in a very wonderful manner. For he says, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto Thy holy name, and to triumph in Thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." And let all people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The word praise is where we get the Hebrew word, hallelujah. In English, the often sung phrase, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And from this two verses, you realize that the psalmist tells us that it is God who is to gather us from among the heathen. It is an assembly of people who desire to praise not self, but God alone. We must decrease, and He must increase, that we may learn to give thanks to His holy name. And tonight, that is our singular purpose. That is to praise Him and to give thanks unto God for who He is. For He is the Creator of heaven and earth, the one living and true God. And the next phrase is most amazing because the Bible says that we are to triumph in His praise. And the rest of the praise in songs and through the reading and the hearing of God's Word, we will understand what this triumph in God's praise is all about. And blessed truly is the Lord God of Israel, not only tonight, but from everlasting to everlasting. And let all of God's people say, Amen. Even as we praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, may we all praise the Lord tonight. Sing praise to God. Wondered what makes our praises so acceptable to God. Why would God accept our praises? Who are we to praise the Creator of the universe? Can we do so with our gold and our silver? God is the owner of all the cattle upon the thousand hills. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anything from us, and yet He delights in our praises. And all these is made possible because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 7 to verse 14. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and that is Mary, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Imagine the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God Almighty sent into this world to die for your sins and for my sins, which we call Christmas. And there was no one to open their door, their home, to welcome him, where the Virgin Mary could give birth to the Son of God and the Son of Man. The only place available when Jesus was born was a manger. A manger was a tiny little wooden box for fodder, food for cattle, for cows. It smells, it's unhygienic. None of us were born in such a terrible condition. And yet that was how the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, not a full-size, proper baby garment. Swaddling clothes are just simply strips of clothing used for wrapping things. They use it to wrap the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there was no one to open their doors, he was born amongst animals. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Nobody took notice, but the Lord appeared to the shepherds. It was a profession that was looked down upon. Nobody liked shepherds because they smelled. It was the lowliest of all professions, something that people despised because you have to stand watch over the flock at night. Nobody likes to work at night. Night duties is a very, very unpalatable kind of a profession. Even till today, we all love to work in the proper hours, 9 to 5. Nobody likes to work at night. And so you have to pay them a double pay to work at night today. But the shepherds have no choice. And so while they were looking after their flock at night, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid of what had transpired around them. And the angel said to them to comfort them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good news has come to all of you tonight, which shall be to all people as well. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," which means the Lord's anointed, "anointed by God Himself to be the Savior of the world. And you, shepherd, are the ones whom God has chosen to be the first to be introduced to the Savior, other than the child's parents. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then all of a sudden, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, and they were all singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And all these came about because of God's prophecy. Prophecy about one particular city where David himself, the king David, was born once only, never to be repeated, once in royal David city.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for one purpose and one purpose only, to die for our sins. As this theme had already described for us, we came into this world to live, that we might have eternal life through Christ Jesus. And He is the only one who made that way possible for us. How can we worship and praise God when our hands are stained by sin? So many sins from the day we were born to the day we knew the difference between our right hand and our left hand, where we commit willful sins after willful sins. We need to humble ourselves. And Christ has set the example when He came down from heaven's glory onto this earth to die for your sins and for my sins. And the humility that we must demonstrate must come from the depths of our hearts, naked, full of sin, acknowledging that we are totally depraved, in need of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash us. As Isaiah 1:16-20 tells us, and God said to Isaiah, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord, for your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Isaiah was a prophet sent by God as a final prophet to minister to the northern kingdom Israel, for the sin of Israel had become so full. Isaiah was the last prophet to minister to Israel before her destruction and exile. May this call of God through Isaiah, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." If only you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be washed of all your sins by His precious blood, that your praises to Him will truly be received by God, for they will come forth from lips that have been washed by the blood of Christ, from hearts that have truly been sanctified and are as white as snow. And this is all made possible because of a fountain that has been filled with the blood of our Savior. It is only by God's grace, nothing else, not on our own merits, but only the grace of God, that we are saved from our sin. And what we therefore need to do is to live a life of obedience, that wherever God would send us forth to do His bidding, in places of danger, it does not matter, for our lives are in God's hands. Wherever God would send, we must go. Isaiah had a very difficult ministry. Chapter 1, which we have read earlier, described his calling. Chapter 6 of Isaiah described his response. Then said I, woe is me. He felt so unworthy to realize how great and merciful God has been to him, that God would send His only begotten Son to die for our sins. Something that is so unfathomable. We can never fully comprehend the greatness, the goodness, and the love of God Almighty, that He would do so much for a sinner such as ourselves. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He felt so unworthy as he approached God. Why would God accept my praises? Why would God accept my gifts? Why would God accept this life, even if I were to give this life? And yet God says, I will, for my Son's sake, for Jesus' sake. And then flew one of the seraphims unto Isaiah, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Will you surrender your life unto God, the God whom you call Abba, Father, the God who has saved us for service, for none of His children have been saved to be put on the shelf, but God, a desire from all of us, a willing heart, a tender heart.
Thank you.
God desires from us more than just a warm feeling, or to pay Him lip service, for these are but temporal. We live on this earth where the wicked one continues to try his utmost to ruin our testimonies. He delights to see Christians stumble and fall. That is the evil one. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and have Him as our vision, not just for tonight, but for the rest of our sojourn on this earth, that this life that Christ has redeemed with His precious blood will only be lived to His glory, to His praise, that this will of ours must diminish with every passing moment, and the will of God in my life, in your life, in the life of every Christian, must continue to grow stronger and stronger with every passing day, that at the end of our life's journey, we may hear from God saying to all of us, "Well done, welcome home, my good and faithful servant." The Apostle Paul was such a servant. His life did not start very well, for he was a great persecutor of Christians. He was consumed with zeal and desire, albeit very sincere, thinking that he was doing God a big favor by putting Christians into prison, by putting Christians to death. He thought that he was doing God's will, that Christians and followers of Christ were the enemies of God, until he was thoroughly converted. He had in his pocket an edict from the religious leaders to enter into any and every home, to capture Christians, to break into their homes, to arrest them at his own will. That was the authority that he had until the Lord met him and his life was turned around and he was never the same again. This time with the same zeal and fervency, he will use them for the promotion of God's kingdom, for the saving of lost souls. And truly Christ was his vision. But it was not an easy task, for he faced many trials, many enemies. And to do that, he shared with us his heart, how he was able to maintain this purpose and this new calling in his life. That praising God was more than just singing hymns, for these were very important to him. But when he was in prison, he sang hymns of praise to thank God that he was counted by God as worthy enough to suffer for Christ's sake. But it was his life that shines much brighter than his words. For every word that he sang to the praise of Christ Jesus, his Lord, his Savior, his Master, was supported and backed up by a life that was totally consumed by only one thing, and that was to promote Jesus Christ, nothing else. He was a man who once upon a time counted all the things of the world as most important. Things such as his heritage, his reputation, or he took pride in the fact that he was circumcised on the eighth day, for there were those who became Jews much, much later, embraced the God of the Old Testament as adults, and so they were circumcised as adults. On this note, he was even better perhaps than Abraham, for Abraham was circumcised as an adult, but Paul was circumcised on the eighth day, and he took pride in the fact. He also took pride in the fact that he came from the tribe of Benjamin, for from that tribe Israel had her first king. And that kind of heritage, that kind of royal blood, oh, they took pride on many, many things, like what we do today. Taking pride in the fact that you might be a CEO, that you live in this particular address in Singapore where only multi-millionaires would live in, and you surround yourself with high places, and you are a member of this club and that club, and you drive flashy cars. All these things, once upon a time, were so important to the Apostle Paul. But he was an unbeliever then. But the moment he met the Lord Jesus Christ, his life was transformed. And to make sure that he will not turn back to the old ways, he shared with us these two verses from Philippians chapter 3. "But what things were gained to me," oh, they were truly what he gained. They were not given to him. He earned them. He realized that. He worked very hard to become top of his class as a Pharisee of all Pharisees. Pertaining to zeal, no one could match his zeal. Oh, he really worked for all these accolades. He took pride in them. And from a man's perspective, he deserved them. Perhaps that's how you feel. You work very hard for all that you now call your own. You are a self-made man. You are full of pride. And man has heaped upon you many, many accolades, many awards. And you have been recognized. And perhaps after your death, they may name a building after you, or even a bridge, a flyover, or whatever, just to make sure that people will not forget who you are. They may name you after a street, so that there will be many people who live along your street, named after you. You will love all these things, because it is part and parcel of our pride, our sinful nature, to be recognized, to be remembered by men. But all these things which the Apostle Paul once upon a time thought were gain, here he shared with us, those I counted loss. It is recorded for us in the perfect tense, telling us that he continues to count it as loss for the rest of his life, and the impact of it carried with him for the rest of his life. It is not just a past event that had no more impact. It was a past event that he will always constantly remember. And he deliberately chose to use it in the middle voice describing himself, whereby he realized that he cannot do it for somebody else and somebody else cannot do it for him. He must personally count it as loss. Himself. No one else. Same for us today. Do you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and as your Savior? It has to be a total, unconditional surrender of every part of our lives. And no one can do that for you. It is an important point in every believer's life, where you must remember the day when the Lord Jesus Christ met with you face to face. Where you have found the world so tasteless, and you count all that you may have gained with these sin-stained hands, once upon a time so precious, you held on to them so hard, so strongly, but this time you just threw everything away because you have counted them loss for Christ, for Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price. You have been looking for this Savior who is able to fill this vacuum in your soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the Apostle Paul's personal experience that enabled him to maintain this vision that he will never, never lose sight of, no matter how he suffered. He was shipwrecked. They scourged him. They whipped him. At least more than 100 times. 3 times. 39 each stroke. Stoning, imprisoned. He had to starve, and so he fasted and he prayed. He trusted in God. When God sent him to places, to cities, whom he knew will have people who will hate him, who will stone him and imprison him, and there are no one in the city that he knew in advance. But by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ constraining his heart and sent there because of the Spirit of God who spoke to his heart, you must go where the Lord would send you. And he said, I will go. And he went, sharing the gospel to total strangers because of the love of Christ burning in his soul. And he never forgot his own salvation, how he counted all that he had gained as loss for Jesus Christ. And the next verse revealed to us on a daily basis how he maintained this position and this stance for the rest of his life. No matter what Satan did to him, no matter what his enemies tried to do to him, how they slandered him, how they lied about him, he never wavered. He maintained his witness and his testimony. And so he shared with us, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. This time, no more perfect tense. He deliberately used the present tense. That means continuously, never stopped. Every day he woke up, I must remember to count all these things at loss. You are tempted by these things, so were the Apostle Paul. You think he just simply washed his hands of all these accolades and it never bothered him anymore? No.
He struggled with them the way that you and I struggle with the accolades of men. We all love praises of men. It is still true today, is it not? That even as believers, we tend to have this subconscious desire to see someone, especially my colleague, my competitor, to see them fall. And if they do well, we refrain from praising and giving them the due glory, the due acknowledgement, the due praise. Because that's not in us. And yet God tells us we must learn to praise, to give people their due. And that must come from a heart that must consider all these as loss for Jesus Christ. Not just perfect tense, but present tense continuously. Every day you wake up, you're going to face a world that will love to see you fall. To see a Christian stumble, and their witness will bring another sinner closer to hell itself. Satan loved that. But the Apostle Paul shared his heart with us that this is the way that you must not lose the vision that you must have of your Lord and of your Savior. That come what may, no matter how dim, no matter how dark the path might be in front of you, you don't let go of Jesus Christ. You hold on to Him and you do not succumb to persecution. Neither must we succumb to seduction. The seduction perhaps is the stronger of the two. We live in a free, prosperous society, in peace. And that means it is very, very seductive. The coffers of the world are before our feet. The more brilliant you are in the ways of the world, the more qualified you are, it's easier for us to go in the direction and to heap upon ourselves the accolades of the world, and they will do it in torrents, whereby you will be swamped. And before you know it, you are a multi-millionaire. And how quick you have forgotten the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul struggled with that too. He was a great servant of God. There were many who loved him, many who followed him. You think he did not have accolades of men? Many, plenty of them. That's why God revealed to us that God gave him a thorn on his side to humble him because of the great revelation he received, because of the many who adored him, who loved him, were prepared to die for the apostle. It's so easy to fill ourselves with pride. Was that not the final sin of the man after God's own heart, King David, before his passing? All of us can fall into this sin of pride. To rob from God what we have done with our hands that God has used us to do. To have founded so many churches, it's so easy to just take a little bit of this glory. I have founded this church, that church. It is my church. The Apostle Paul refrained from doing that. That's why he shared with us, I count all things but loss, present tense, I continue to count. He never forgot all these things I must forsake. I must not go back to these things. It will ruin me. It will destroy my witness and my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will not and must not allow that to happen. For there were too many who depended upon his witness and his strength and his faith to be strong. And so he shared, and I count all things but loss. It is one thing to push aside all these things as loss. But then if you just simply push them away, now you have so much time in your hand. You now have a vacuum in your life. What am I going to do to occupy my time? My life? Once upon a time, I spent my time and my life pursuing all these things which I thought was so precious, so important. But now that I have considered it as done, I don't want any of these things. But what am I going to do now? I don't mind devil's workshop. He replaced them with something that he considers as the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Not our Lord. He was addressing the Christians in Philippi, in the church in Philippi. He could easily have just simply used our Lord. He says, no, my Lord. It has to be a personal conviction. Counting all these things as loss is only one side of the coin. If we do not occupy ourselves pursuing after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, we will go back to the way of the world, and this time round, we may do it twice as hard, with double the zeal and the fervency, and that would be horrendous. You must now pursue after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. How to do that? You spend time studying God's Word. You spend your resources buying things that will help you better understand God's Word. There is no substitute. Where else do you find the excellency of Christ Jesus? His knowledge about Christ. The Word of God. No other way. You must make sure that you are found faithfully attending your church worship service, whichever church you come from. They put down there the passage for next Lord's Day. You read the passage, you meditate upon the passage, and you prepare to receive the Word of God on the Lord's Day. You make sure you spend your quiet time reading God's Word, praying without ceasing, trusting and leaning upon Christ, and no more on self. Because if you lean on self, you're going to stumble and fall all over again. How can we, with our mind, fight against spiritual weapons? We will lose. That's why Christ tells us, pray without ceasing. There are only three things we are told never to stop doing. Pray without ceasing is the meat in this hamburger, right in the middle. Do you know where that is found? Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Before you can do that, the first thing is rejoice evermore. That is praise, isn't it? Rejoice evermore, and then immediately after that, pray without ceasing, and then the bottom part to sandwich, to complete the sandwich, in everything give thanks. You be a thankful person. And tonight, praise and thanksgiving is for that. And sandwich in between, you pray without ceasing. Prayer without ceasing means you are telling God, God, I can't live this life without your help. Those who don't pray are basically telling God, I can live this life without your help. That's why we don't pray. But God tells us, you pray without ceasing. You cannot live this life without my help because you're going to stumble and fall. You don't know how to bring up your children without my help. You don't know how to deal with the accolades and the promotions in this world without my help. You're going to be sucked into it. You're going to be seduced by it. You pray without ceasing. Then you will be able to praise, you'll be able to give thanks in all things, even difficult times. All things means all things. The hymn that contains the greatest joy and rejoicing is this epistle to the Philippians. And Paul wrote this epistle when he was in prison. He was encouraging the Christians who were free men. But they instead should encourage him because he was in bonds. He was in bondage. But he praised the Lord and he encouraged them instead. And he challenged them. You rejoice evermore. You don't ever stop praising the Lord. Don't praise him because you are healthy and wealthy. You praise him regardless of the circumstances around you. You praise him because you are a child of God. You praise him because you have humbled yourself before him and you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior without conditions. You praise him because this life has been touched and redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and has been washed as white as snow. You praise him because the angel has put the coal onto your lips. And these are no more lips filled with sin, but lips that have been sanctified. And a heart that has been washed as white, desiring to praise God, not just with our lips, but with our lives. And to do that, count all things that you used to consider as gain, but now as loss. And replace them with the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, where you will spare no effort in the study of God's Word. Constantly, non-stop, read God's Word at the time of God speaking to you. And as you pray, you speak with God. And you read God's Word, God speak to your heart. And make sure this is your daily diet. Early in the morning and before you lay down to sleep. And whenever there are Bible study groups, make it a point to attend. To encourage others who are in need of your encouragement. For young people with fellowship groups, attend. Contact groups, whatever, wherever the Word of God is taught. Make it a point to be there. And that's how you pursue after the excellency of Christ Jesus, His knowledge. And that will keep us that our vision of the Lord will not grow dim. That come what may, persecution or seduction, we will not lose sight of my Lord, my Savior, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, the Apostle Paul says. Why? Because I do count them, present tense, continue to count all these things as dung. Excrement of animals as dung. You look at your Rolex watch as dung, or you see it as something valuable. You look at your Rolls Royce as dung, or you see that as something valuable. You look at your mansion as dung, or you see that as something valuable. The Apostle Paul did not mince his words. This came from a man whose heart has truly been touched by the Word of God, and his life reflected it. He had absolutely nothing when he died, when the Lord called him home. He didn't even have his outer garment to keep him warm when he died in prison. He didn't even have his parchment with him to read God's Word when he was languishing in prison, waiting to have his head chopped off or thrown into the lion. Once upon a time, he lived in high places. He enjoyed the best food and the best company with all the VVIPs. And these he took pride in. But not anymore. He counted them as dung. He did continue to count them as dung. Do we? Sometimes we spend more time polishing our cars than reading God's Word. Is that not to our shame? We spend more time and we consider things that are so materialistic as more important than things that are spiritual, the things that require us to go on our knees, to learn, to embrace, to love. The Apostle Paul shared with us something that he experienced dearly, sincerely, from the depth of his heart. May this be true of us. Tonight is a time of praise, a time of thanksgiving. But to do that, it must be a time of surrender and reflection. That God requires of us a heart of flesh, a heart that is tender, a heart that is inclined to worship, to praise, for He is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, worthy of our praises, not just from our lips, but from our lives as well. And let us now give of our substance as a response of our love to Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are not a Christian, please refrain from giving. For Christians give cheerfully, not by compulsion, but willingly, happily, because we are God's children, because we love Him. And so we praise Him, not just with our lips, with our life, as well as with our substance. The offertory hymn is hymn 136. 136. Come ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home, all is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home.
Storms begin.
Please arise for the doxology, after which our senior pastor, Dr. To, will lead us in the closing prayer.
This night, when we remember the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for us, we thank Thee that He was willing to leave heaven's glory, that He, though rich, became poor for our sakes, that we be rich in the things of God. Lord, now we present to Thee these gifts, offerings, and tithes from your people as a token of our gratitude. May thou be pleased to receive these, and may thou be pleased also to use us as instruments of the gospel, that we will, hearing tonight's message, give ourselves to thee a living sacrifice, to go forth to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ until He comes. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of the session of Calvary Pandan BP Church, I bid one and all a very warm welcome. If you are here with us for the first time, a special warm welcome to you. We hope you have found it a great blessing to worship with us this evening. I have only one name I'd like to welcome into our midst. Aaron Wong from KL, Malaysia. You're here with us for the first time. Please stand where you are that we may extend to you our right hand of fellowship. Mr. Aaron Wong, are you here? Oh, he's upstairs. I don't see him. Well, wherever you are, the Lord bless you and keep you. Just a very quick announcement. On the inside front cover of this order of worship, you'll find a little write-up about Calvary Pandan BP Church. If you do not have a church to worship in, you're very welcome to worship with us. On the second last page of the cover, you will have the address and the time of our services in Mandarin as well as in English. You are welcome to worship the Lord with us. At the back, please find the next Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship program for January to June. 6 months. Our focus will be on victorious living in a perilous world for the many sins that are very, very prevalent in our age and in our time, will be dealt with by God's servants. Please pray for them as they prepare, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. Next Lord's Day, we will continue our series of messages on saving our children with a topic and title, Head of Every Home. We encourage all of you to come. If you do not have another church to worship in the evening, please come and join us, and better still, bring a friend. Final announcement outside, we have this CD made by the choir, and it is sold at cost, just to cover cost. All the songs have been copyrighted, and we have received permission to use them, to put it into CD, and they are at $5 each. after tonight, from tomorrow onwards, this CD can be bought at the Tabernacle Book Room. There are altogether 10 hymns. Tonight you have heard 7 plus 1, one more, that is the benediction that will follow immediately after this by the choir, and 2 extra. Use it as a gift to encourage someone who may be experiencing some depression or may be languishing in bits of affliction. These hymns of praise will truly be an encouragement to God's people, perhaps even to someone who needs Christ Jesus. So please help yourself to as many as you can afford. Only $5. Very reasonable. Now I'd like to invite the choir to dismiss us with a benediction. Good night and God bless. The service is now over.